السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome on Seeking for Radio Islam on Mijmi 1548. Yes, we have Mufti Ilyas with us in the studio, and we are going live with the Q&A program. And just to remind our listeners, our lines are open, 8541548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. Our cell phone number for tonight, as usual, 0823565988. That's 0823565988. Okay, we have Mr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah, Mr. Salam, for your time, and Jazakumullah for coming in once again.
Jazakallah, alhamdulillah.
Okay, let's go on with the first question for today. We have a lot of questions coming in already on the SMS here, and we have two emails which we will, inshallah, go through a bit later on in the program. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. If one has a difficulty in memorizing and remembering Dua al-Qunut, then can another dua be recited for the witr salah? And if so, then which dua can be recited?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the dua al-Qunut is not extensive. A concerted effort should be made to learn it, few words at a time. However, immediately what you can do is, you can read Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanata wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina azaban nar. Now, if you don't know that dua also, you don't even know the Rabbana dua, then any other dua that comes in your mind, read it. And if you do not know any other dua also, then Umdatul Fiqh, there is a kitab called Umdatul Fiqh. They discuss whether Dua al-Qunut, you can say words praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So, minimum, if you cannot memorize any Dua, or you have just accepted Islam, now came the time of Qunut, so at least say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Learn some dua, read that dua, learn the Rabbana, read that. And if you have to say any tamheed, praising words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say it thrice. That will validate your salat of witr.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's go on to the next question. It says, does discharge break your wudu? And if yes, then do you have to take a bath, or will wudu alone be sufficient?
First of all, discharge of what? So the person who sent that SMS should kindly clarify. Discharge of what? Blood, discharge of matter, discharge of impurity, discharge of gas. Now, all these possibilities are there. Discharge of fluid, and discharge of fluid from posterior, discharge of fluid from the front. So there are so many possibilities. However, that if it is discharge of gas or urine, stool, then wuzu will break. However, if there is discharge like pus, blood, and that is going to soil the clothing, then the clothing has to be washed adequately 3 times so that it attains purity, and you can utilize that very same clothing, providing you know where the impurity fell. The discharge will not necessitate ghusl. It will not make wajib the ghusl. Yes, if it is semen discharge out of pleasure and passion, then that will make ghusl necessary.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Can one purchase from a Muslim owned grocery store that has a lotto machine?
One is that person, he is definitely sinning by having the equipment of transgression and disobedience in his store. wherein the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fall. In fact, the wrath, anger, displeasure of Allah jalla majdahu is in that store. But to purchase an item from that place is permissible. Best course of action is to purchase item and with diplomacy, wisdom, hikmat, advise, admonish that person that this machine should be removed, and Allah Jalla Majdahu will give barakah, blessings tremendously if that person acts upon that advice.
Next question we're going on to, it says, what dua should one read to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness?
First of all, that depending on the sin, one is a person sins against mankind. For example, you oppress someone's right, you usurp someone's property, you spoke ill of someone. Now in that case, no amount of istighfar, tawbah, etc. will suffice. If you have, for example, hypothetically, taken only 100 rand, sounds small, and you usurped it, stole it, and by your cunning means, took it away from some person, by your deception, stole it from someone, then, no sooner you return it, you'll be forgiven automatically. But if you have to go under the Mizab Rahmat, standing in the Hatim, holding the Ghilaf of the Kaaba, weeping and hailing before Allah Jalla Majdahu, and say, Ya Allah, forgive me, I've taken 100 rand from so and so, you will not be forgiven. Now, the other one, that you spoke ill of someone, go to that person and seek forgiveness. You do not have to be specific that I said this about you and that about you. But in general terms, say that I have spoken some ill words about you, concerning you, please forgive me. Once you do that, it is done. The other one is that concerning Allah Jalla Majdahu. For example, you missed a salat. The redemption for that is you make the qaza. Now, you and everybody is prone to commit minor sins. Speaking out of turn, listening to wrong things, saying the wrong things, looking at the wrong things. There, for example, when we make wuzu, etc., our sins fall off. So there you make istighfar, you make tawbah, and you make tawbah having some conditions. That, Ya Allah, I will not do that again. Ya Allah, I regret doing it. Ya Allah, I will not attempt to go near there. I will make a great effort not to commit that sin again. So what we call in Sharia terminology, you'll make a tawbah, a sincere one, which Allah Jalla Majdahu speaks about. So you will make a tawbah, regretting what you have done, not going back to what, not going back to what you have done, and also that you will make a great effort to plead before Allah, cry before Allah, weep before Allah, so that you do not make that sin again.
Going on to the next question, Mufassir, it says, I am working, it says, my money is all used in the house. All my husband's money is on my account. Can I make qurbani? I don't have cash.
First of all, that definitely this is a question from a sister. As a rule, I keep saying that we do not encourage females to work. Now, in this scenario, that all the money is spent, so the person will not be a sahib amal. The person will not be a sahib, a wealth. So when a person is not in a position to be classified one who is going to give zakat on the day of Qurbani, then obviously that upon that person Qurbani is not wajib. In the days of Qurbani, a person having sahib a nisab, that means he will, a person having nisab money, a person having the nisab wealth which will obligate the zakat, then upon that person is Qurbani. And if a person does not have that amount which will make him a payer of zakat, then Qurbani will not be wajib upon that person.
Okay, we have a lot of questions coming in here on the screen. It says, a sister says her father-in-law passed away and mother-in-law does not want to distribute the shares or sell the house to her son and daughter-in-law. The mother-in-law is 87 years old but says the house will only be sold when she passes away. Is this the correct method?
First of all, that Allah Ta'ala give a lot of barakat. She's already 87. And I do not know why she's holding on to all this. 87 means, by the blessing of Allah, that both legs are in the grave, waiting for Malik al-Maut to pass by. And it is stated in Hadith that Malik al-Maut passes every Muslim five times a day. And Malik al-Maut meaning the angels of death, they pass by us. And they see their records whether our time is up. Now 87, that means everything is on standby, bye-bye, just now is going to happen. So she should at least worry about Allah Jalla Majduhu's ahkam, laws. Some elderly person should go and talk to her. Although it is very difficult at this age, I do admit. Because Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if you hear of a person's character and personality, ways and mannerisms changed after 40, don't believe it. But if you hear of the mountain moving, believe it. If you hear of the mountain moving, believe it. Now imagine Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said this. That if you hear of the mountain moving, believe it. Now in our country especially, where we see all these mines, mountains, sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't see them. Mountains are moving. And those who are accustomed to go to Makkah, Medina, you see also mountains moving there. Now, so she should be advised. Humbly, someone who can get through her. What she is doing is completely un-Islamic. What she is doing is completely haram. What she is doing is going against the text of Allah Jalla Majdahu's Sharia. So someone should go and explain to her that definitely what she is doing is not in the conducive to the text of Sharia and spirit of Sharia, and she should quickly distribute the estate so that her husband can be in peace.
Okay, going on to the next question we have. It says, I am a divorced lady with one child. I am starting my iddah period and currently staying with my parents. My father is unemployed and has no intention in supporting me even though he has sufficient money. The question is, can I go to work without sitting for the full iddah to be financially independent?
Make dua, we have translated one kitab on iddah. Complete kitab on iddah. And inshallah when our site will be up and running, we'll put it there. So inshallah someone can steal it and publish it. And inshallah they'll be rewarded. A complete book on iddat, meaning how iddat comes about, what is the meaning of iddat, when iddat started, pre-Arab iddat, now Islamic iddat, iddat amongst other religions, then what the lady can wear in iddat, what she can say in iddat, her clothing, her jewelry, her beautification, her movement, her visitation, what she can do, restrictions and limitations, everything is discussed in that book. Now it is stated there also, and everything is well referenced, alhamdulillah. It is stated there that in this case, she may go out because of financial constraints and financial restraints. She may go out but come back before sunset, but her going out should be done in an Islamic manner, meaning she should clad herself how a good Muslim will go out, a good Muslim will go out of the house, meaning in hijab.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Okay, let's go on to the next. We have a caller. Let's take the first caller for tonight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Sahib, mashallah, I just switched on my radio now, and I heard a question relating to the lake estate, where the lady doesn't want, the lady's 87 years old, and she doesn't want to wind up the estate. However, I'm not justifying her actions regarding what she's doing, because obviously if Sharia kicks in the minute the husband passes on. But if we go a bit further today, and we see what's happening around us, the minute the son gets the house, or whatever the case may be, the parents are virtually, literally thrown out of their homes, whereas they could have been in their homes for that particular period of time. Now, we all know, we all are here to say that she is not, what she's doing is wrong, Sharia-wise. How right are the children by not accepting responsibility where the parents are concerned? I mean, you know, it's always a two-way street. Fine, she doesn't want to wind up the estate, but how many children today, let us look at it, wants to look after the children with heart and soul? I mean, the parents, sorry, with heart and soul. Very few today, Mufti Sahib. And unfortunately, we are such in an environment today. I've heard of many cases, I've been around, where the sons don't want to take responsibility regarding the mothers. Where does Sharia come into that? Please answer this question. I'll listen to it on the radio.
Okay, Jazakallah for that.
Jazakallah, I appreciate that comment and that concern. The concern is very valid. And what the brother is saying, he is definitely making sense. Because that the elderly wife will feel a fear that no sooner my son will get the house, then they have this fear, the daughter-in-law will twist the son's arm and I come through the window. So what she should do, that and I'm happy the brother raised this, she should embark on a Umrah clause. It's called the Umrah clause. And in fact, the late husband should have done it. That if he was apprehensive of this scenario, then he should have put in his will a Umrah clause. And anybody wanting this can contact us. Inshallah, we'll try to get it to them. Basically, it is worded simply that, and the Maliki Mazhab allows it, and the Hanafi scholars are accepting it, that if I die, then my wife will stay in the house until she passes away. So she should go for that option. If she goes for that option, then obviously she's within the confines of the Sharia. That means that the wrath of Allah and the displeasure of Allah will not be on her. So she should go that route. See.
Jazakumullah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's take the next question. It says, can a person give fidya on one's deceased parents if they did not make a wasiyah?
All this, for example, fidya, kafara, etc., if the person does it, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says it will be valid, and we hope Allah Jalla Majdahu forgives the deceased. So it is valid, and we make dua that Allah accepts. It is permissible to do so.
Okay, we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Mufti Sahib, it's me again, man. I forgot to ask you the second question. Mufti Sahib, an imam is employed in the masjid to perform five times a day the imamat. Yeah. However, he defaults in his during the period of the month where he probably reads maybe one or two namazes, skips a day or two, or whatever the case may be. Now, knowing for the fact that the imam is employed for five times a day, imamat in a masjid, he only performs three sometimes, maybe two sometimes, some days he's not there at all. How does Sharia apply regarding to the salary he's getting? Is he entitled to a full month's salary regarding this? Or is there something else which Sharia-wise can be done to overcome the situation that we do have in many of our masjids today? Jazakumullah.
Okay, Jazakumullah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Now the imams are in trouble. First of all, that they are paid for the time. they should not hasten to cut his salary. However, to cut his salary will be permissible if he does not have any Shari valid reason for shirking. When he has taken this, then his contract must be clearly defined. And all employer-employee disputes arise when the contract is not demarcated. So all aspects of work must be demarcated properly, highlighted. And if he is shirking his responsibility without any Shari valid reason, then he should be called and spoken to. But keeping in mind he's your imam, respect him, do not be harsh with him, talk with him with full mannerism, ethics and dignity, and tell him what he is doing is not correct. Do not have a screaming session and fighting session with him. Do not belittle him. Talk to him with proper decorum. And then outline to him that he is not doing the job properly. After that, you can admonish him and listen to him. Maybe he got some Shari valid reasons, which we are not aware of. After that, if he's got no valid Shari reasons, you may cut his salary pro rata to his hours of work. However, some strange news reached me that I hear some person in Ankara, Turkey, they came up with one strange ruling today that the Muslims don't have to make 5 times Salat every day, now they must make 3 times Salat. What a strange fellow that is. Jee.
Jazakumullah for the Mufti Sahib. Let's go on to the next question. Okay, we have another brother online. Assalamu alaikum. Sister online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jee, sister.
I want to know, in Hajj, when you're in Ihram, can you use the space? And my second question is, the Tawaf al-Ziyarat and Sa'i of Hajj, can you do it before Hajj?
Okay, is that all you have?
Yes.
JazakAllah for that call. Assalamu alaikum. Mm-hmm.
It is better to avoid toothpaste because it has got some fragrance in it. However, because the ruling will be like food has got certain amount, cooked food has got certain amount of fragrance in it, and it is permissible to eat that food. Similarly, on that analogy, drawing from that, it will be permissible to utilize the toothpaste. The Tawaf Ziyarah, what a person can do, what is permissible to do, but not advisable because of the crowds. 8th of Zilhajj, after midnight, 8th of Zilhajj, after midnight, a person makes a nafil tawaf in the state of Ihram. Tied the Ihram, adorned the Ihram for Hajj. So on the 8th of Zilhajj, after midnight, made a nafil tawaf, followed by a sa'i, that means Safa Marwa. Then they bank that sa'i. They bank that sa'i. Not the tawaf. Because after pelting of shaitan, big shaitan, when you come from Muzdalifah, you still have to come and make tawaf, going around the Kaaba 7 times. But because you have now done the sa'i and you banked it, you don't have to do the sa'i. Jee.
Okay, JazakAllah for the Mufsal. Question came earlier on, can a person give fidya on once his parents if they not make wasiyah? Besides it, it can have another question to it saying, if they can give, who can eat from this?
The recipient of fidya, kafara, sadqatul fitr, are same. Meaning, those who are the recipients of zakah. The recipients of zakah, sadqatul fitr, kafara, fidya, are same. So, one ruling for all of them. Jee.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's go on to the next question. It says, the question that came earlier on, it says, discharge of fluid, not out of pleasure. It's discharge of fluid.
Jee. the fluid that comes out, there are three from the male. Prior to the semen, there is a transparent fluid. That transparent fluid will break wuzu, not ghusl. And if it lands on the clothing will have to be washed.
Okay, and the brother asked a question. Question on Al-Baraka being silent. I don't think there is a question today.
Okay.
Okay, just for those people that I don't think there is a question on Al-Baraka Bank, inshallah, if you can, if anybody wants a phone, you can phone Mufsad direct or go on to Mufsad's email. Mufsad, the email is
Mufti, M-U-F-T-I-E, at mweb.co.za.
Going on to the next question, what are the punishments for wearing imitation rings? Or is it bad luck?
When there is on this issue some difference of opinion, then because of the difference of opinion, is no such thing as bad luck, but one should try to abstain. And it is not a major sin.
We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jesus, sir.
I've got a hearing problem.
Okay.
Can you speak to me a bit louder?
Okay, sure. Jesus, sir.
Hello?
You're on air, sir, so you can say your question.
The question is that my son, we named him Akbar Ali years ago. He's not married, and he's about 20, going for 29, 28, I think. And now I hear Mufti Saab a couple of weeks ago said, we're not supposed to keep the name Akbar. So I would like him, I'll listen in the air, but I would like to, Mufti Saab to tell me that what should I do about it and how do I go about it? Change his name or what? Or should I just call him Ali alone or what? I would like to know. Because a couple of weeks ago, Mufti Saab did mention about this. Somebody asked, I think, because their son's name was Akbar. Mufti Saab said that we're not supposed to keep that name. That's now years ago, we didn't know about it.
Okay, I'll answer, inshallah.
Excuse me?
I'll answer, inshallah.
Okay.
On the air.
Yeah, okay, then I'll listen on air.
Inshallah.
Okay, jazakallah.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Jee, Mufti Saab.
We've got a slight advantage here because we've got Akbar Ali. So immediately what they should do, that call him Ali. And in this case here, because you got a replacement, otherwise the best course of action is that make a government reapplication and remove the word Akbar. So just call him Ali. That will suffice. Gee.
Let's go on to the next question. Just to remind listeners, our lines are open. 854-1548-0823-565-988, and that's our mobile number for tonight. Alternatively, you can email us on airradioislam.co.za. We have two questions that came in now. It says, is it permissible to eat the head of the sheep during Qurbani?
It is permissible to do so. But it does not mean that if you eat the brains, you become clever.
Definitely. Let's take those two emails that came in early on. Okay, the first one was, it says, Assalamu alaikum, I would like some advice regarding halal and haram monies. If one has halal savings, and I add money to the saving, the money that was made through haram means, example, gambling, that it render all the money haram.
This is very interesting. There is one example people give, and their example causes little bit difficulty and confusion. Certain times we don't understand this. They say that if there is a bucket of water and some urine, drop of urine falls in, it renders that whole bucket of water impure. Now that is true. That is very true. But remember that that analogy cannot be taken out of context. For example, that use of the internet. Use of the internet is worse than television if you got no control over it. So you cannot say internet is haram and use this example of the urine in the bucket. Because the difference is the urine dissolves in the bucket. And the internet can be put into departments. You can make into compartments. Therefore, one is soluble and one is non-soluble. So you cannot use a soluble example and analogy for a non-soluble thing. Now, in this case where the brother has said about halal money and haram money. Because the halal money is touching the haram money, it does not render the halal money haram. Because they can be separated. So the analogy of urine in the bucket cannot be used here. So in anything, when you look at something, you must see that can this be divided? If it can be divided, then you cannot use the soluble example, urine in bucket example. That analogy will not be correct according to jurisprudence. And sadly enough, sometimes the ulama ikram do not understand this. However, his brother should sit down carefully and divide his halal money and gambling money. And then take the gambling money and give it away to the poor, needy, destitute, wayfarer, the one in need, Muslim, non-Muslim, give it away. Our ulama are saying without the niyat of sawab. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi is of the opinion you will get sawab. For acting upon the order that you conform to the order that something that was wajib with the sadduq, which was compulsory to distribute, you distributed it. Ji.
JazakAllah for that, Muhtasab. Let's go on to the next question. We have another question here on the SMS. It says, is there any dua that I can read for my child? He has a weak bladder.
First of all, that we all make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant shifa kamila, ajila, mustabirra. And the specific dua, email me, muftie@mweb.co.za. And if you got an alim nearby you, there are two kitabs which are very good for this. One is Qurani Amal by Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Ramtul Ali, it has got it there. And one is by Maulana Kashmiri Ramtul Ali, which that has been translated into English. It's called Hidden Secrets. So try to get those books, and in there is the dua for weak bladder.
JazakAllah for the Mustafa. We have another question here. It says, okay, firstly, it says, Assalamu alaikum and shukran for an informative program to Mufisab and all.
JazakAllah. We appreciate your du'as.
Okay, brother asks, what du'a can one read for a stubborn child?
When the child is sleeping, then place your hand on the forehead of the child and read some Durood Sharif and read about 11 times, Ya Shahidu, Ya Shahidu. And then blow on the child. And make dua the child becomes obedient. That's one. Secondly, we ourselves, we should try to become obedient to Allah Jalla Majdahu. That child will become obedient, inshallah.
Okay, JazakAllah. Same SMS, different question. Can one sell fireworks?
It is permissible, highly detested. Gee.
Same question, same SMS of a question as well. How is zakat calculated on cost or selling price?
We have written, translated one kitab actually, it's called Zakat in Detail. So this is a kitab by Maulana Muhammad Refat Qasimi, one of the ustads of Darul Uloom Dioban. And he has written many kitabs. Few of them we have translated. In it, it is written current market related value. Current market related value. Ji.
JazakAllah Khair, Mufti Sahib. We have a question here. It says, Mufti Sahib, I am a normal housewife. However, I have saved money throughout the year to make qurbani. It says, I am just a little short of money to purchase the animal. My husband has gifted this money to me. Can I still make qurbani on my name, even though my husband helped me with the funds?
Allah Ta'ala reward your efforts and reward your husband for contributing towards a noble act. Go and make the qurbani. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will reward you tremendously. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala accepts all our qurbanis.
JazakAllah for that. Let's go on. Question came, can you call it Ali Akbar or Ali Asghar?
Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had 18 children. And he had one child called Abu Bakr Akbar, Abu Bakr Ausat, Abu Bakr Asghar, and one child Umar Akbar, Umar Aswat, Umar Asghar. So we also say that if Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala who had problems with Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, why he called his children's name that? If you're having difficulty with someone, you won't name your children by those names. So this is that the idea that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had problems, this is propaganda. So you can keep Ali Asghar, no problem.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Just to remind listeners, our lines are open, 8541548, SMS number 0823565988. Says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti, I have a query. Please explain the Islamic definition of gambling and what type of competitions are permitted in Islam. JazakAllah for your time.
Gambling will entail basically one concept called chance. When you put some money and there is a chance you will win, then that tantamounts to gambling. But if there is a one-sided bet on a competition, that if you, for example, pass that examination, I will reward you so much. That's not gambling. If you are able to run from this place to this place in certain amount of time, I will reward you. That's not gambling. If you pass with this aggregate or pass mark, I will reward you. That's not gambling.
JazakAllah for that. Let's go on to the next question. It says, is it permissible to become a wrestler and make a living through wrestling?
In our age, that to adopt wholeheartedly as a profession, any professional sport, is definitely not conducive to the text and spirit of true Islamic behavior and personality. It is classified as waste of time, energy, money, and also by engaging in that activity, one is engaging in a vain, futile activity. And the person himself, herself doing that, will be involved in an activity which has got no benefit, and will be making others also waste their time. You see, these days, literally millions of people watching television of how one man is striking one ball around and deriving so-called pleasure from that. Our pleasures don't lie in that. Also understand something. Very simple. There are three alams, three spheres. Dunya, Qabr, Barzakh and Akhirat. Anything you do, from the time I'm now saying you, anything you do, you put these three things in front of you. I'm doing this, what benefit it has got? If it has got only dunya benefit, then seek whether it is permissible to do it. When it has got benefit in dunya and cover, it's going to help you do it. And when it got benefit in three places, dunya, qabr and akhirat, then you must do it more. Now this activity, for example, becoming a wrestler, what will benefit you? It's only going to benefit you in the dunya. And when it is only going to benefit you in the dunya, you've done right by questioning whether I must do it. And we are saying, don't waste your time.
JazakAllah for that. Okay, we have two callers online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Mufti Sahib, I've got an investment account in a bank which pays off a dividend of 10% per annum. And the interest money is utilized for distribution for the poor, which obviously we can't keep that kind of money in the home and stuff. But the reason is now, the question I'm asking is that when the investment account pays, you have to pay a ledger fee, the administration fee, say for 30 or 40 rand a month. Does that, to keep that money far, say for 100,000 or whatever, do you have to pay the ledger fees from the money you owe, the own, or the asset you own, or do you have to pay off from the interest to keep that money, for instance,
I understand.
Your level.
I understand.
Ji. And another question is, we have Maulanas all over the world. They were talking about the masjid. Maulanas have a duty. But the Muslims, have they got the right to dictate to the Maulanas? Because he was looking at it's 4 to 10 o'clock. The Muslim the imams got to be punctual daily. They also got other things to do, like they got families and stuff. They also sometimes got to go out. And I don't think it is they're going to be in the masjid for every five salah, you know. If it's one imam that is in charge of the namaz for all the five namaz, which I don't know how you're going to,
resolve that. I'll respond.
JazakAllah.
Okay, what's up? So you take the next caller first? Yeah. Let's take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello?
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
So, alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
I wanted to ask Maulani, I got that spice shop, right?
Okay.
And somebody told me, like, you know, the rice price going up after 2 weeks. So can I buy the stock and keep it and I sell it after 2 weeks, the high price?
Okay, is that all you have, brother? Any other questions?
Yeah, I got another more question. I got some stock and price go up. So I can the same price or I can say the high price?
Okay, JazakAllah for that.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Thai rice is going up. First of all, the brother with the question, ledger fees question. Now, ledger fees, he cannot utilize interest money to pay the ledger fees. He'll have to use, in his words, own money, meaning pure money. So, for the ledger fees, he will utilize good money, own money, pure money, not interest money. However, all those who are forced to keep their money in the bank and they are getting interest, then it is advisable for you to take that interest and give it away. Do not leave the interest to the banks. Take it and give it away to the needy and the poor. Secondly, the imam and the five times salat. That is why in my answer I put a rider. I said that be full of respect to the imam, talk to him nicely, and also he may have some sherry valid reason, as the brother is saying, that he's a human being, he has to go out. So you will have to talk to the imam before taking any action and cutting his salary. Remember, I'm not saying cut his salary first, I'm saying go through a procedure. And also the brother made a nice suggestion also, that get another deputy imam. Very good, that is. Get deputy imam. And because the imam, he has got certain rights to fulfill. And also, it is extremely difficult for one imam to be all the time on the musalla. As far as the brother with the spice shop and the rice, yes, he can buy the rice. He can buy the rice and later sell it at a higher price. That is no problem. Yes, in an Islamic country, that basic commodities that you cannot do what you can do now. Rice is not a basic fundamental commodity in our country. So you can buy the rice now and sell it later at a higher price with all the commodities. Ji.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Let's take the next question. It says, can you give fidya money to the madrasa as they will be cutting a cow with it? And can the meat be consumed by the poor only or everybody in the madrasa itself?
When you give fidya money to the madrasa, then specify clearly that this is fidya money, and as you say they are going to cut a cow, then they must, and the administrators must make sure that it is only given to the poor in that madrasa.
Okay, going on next, is it permissible to work in a bank?
As a last resort, after looking for many jobs, you cannot find a job, then go and work there, make istighfar tawbah daily, and also look for another job. And when you find another job, even if it's paying low, take it.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti. Let's go on to the next question. It says, Mufti, we have omitted television from our home. A lot of people say it will be difficult for our children. We are determined. What can we do to keep this dajjal away from our home permanently? JazakAllah.
You have done the right thing. And you should look for alternatives. For example, now, whatever alternative you are to teach your child, then have strict supervision and utilize the net via strict supervision, and then take the benefit from that.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Let's go on to the next question. It says, Assalamu alaikum. The sister said, Alhamdulillah, the program is very, very informative and enjoyable, and I really learn a lot from it. Okay, she says, I would like to, Mufti Sahib, to answer this question. When a lady does not have regular 10 days haid, but for example 7 to 8 days, in those days that she is clean and waiting to bath, does she have to make qaza of those salat she has missed?
That is why we say that the female must have a record, must keep a record so that they know their timings. Because when they know the timings, it is easier for them to be classified, that they will be classified regular, irregular, or they'll be classified totally irregular or spasmodic, whatever it is, we will definitely find some masala. Now the person will know that minimum is 3, maximum is 10, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. So 7, after 7, they make ghusl and start the salat. Advisable, now from now onwards, start a timetable so that you know whether you are regular or not regular.
It says, Assalamu alaikum. My husband is too tired to give me time at night. I've spoken to him about this, but he feels I am asking or I am being demanding by asking for some of his time. Sometimes months will go by without any rights. Advice. What is your advice, Mufti Sahib, for those people who are preoccupied men and neglect their wives?
First of all, you should try to find out that why is he so tired? Is he got mental problem, financial problem, medical problem? And is he only tired when he's alone with you? Or is he tired as soon as he enters the house? Is this tiredness motivated? Or is this selective tiredness? So try to analyze why this man is tired. That's number one. Maybe he's got a definite medical problem. Maybe he's got a mental problem. Maybe the financial strains are not allowing him to do what he's supposed to be doing. If he's got medical problem, then advise him to go see a medical practitioner so that they can give the correct medication. If he's got financial problems, then he must learn to talk about it and get it off his system so that he does not infringe upon the basic rights of his wife. Thirdly, that if he is all the time tired, he got no physical problem, mental problem, financial problem, then has he got second wife? Maybe he's going there and he hasn't told you, that's why now he can't come to you properly. So address that situation also. Then the other thing, that are you being sufficiently attractive for him so that he can fulfill your rights? And maybe try to look at this from this angle, that something is annoying him when he's coming in the house. Maybe the food is not correct. Maybe the food is not on time. Maybe the place is untidy. Maybe the activities when he enters he does not like to see. And maybe he does not like to see you not dressed like how you are dressed. So there are a lot of things. And finally, when you have addressed whatever I have said, then you talk to some elder in your family to talk to him that he is not fulfilling your rights. And the husband, if he's listening, then he must now decide firmly that just as he has got some necessities and needs and demands of life, the woman has got more.
Okay, Mufassar, let's go on to one last question thereafter, inshallah, we'll take the nasiha. It says, Mufassar, what can be read for failing eyesight?
After Salah, it is proven to read Ya Noor and blow on the eyes. Some scholars have stated that totally avoid looking at evil. Other scholars have stated try to look at greenery. Other scholars have stated that read Quran a lot. Read Quran a lot. Allah Ta'ala will improve, inshallah, the eyesight.
So one last question, I think this question is important. It says, can a penal beater work on cars that he knows that the insurance company will be paying him?
It is absolutely permissible to do so. It is absolutely permissible to do so.
JazakAllah for the Mufassar, some nasiha from your side, inshaAllah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Since it is Qurbani, one masla of Qurbani comes in mind. And why? Because there's too many emails coming, and plus also phone calls are coming concerning this issue. And unfortunately now leaflets have been distributed encouraging people that you should make Qurbani with us and we will do your Qurbani, provided and on this condition that you have to do one yourself. So this stipulation of a precondition is not correct. What happens if you give that person, that organization, your Qurbani money and then you yourself don't do it? Because you're not fulfilling that condition, your first Qurbani, which is wajib, has not been done. So be careful. This is not the correct masala. Secondly, I would like to advise all the trustees of masjids, etc., that, and I've expressed this view, it's not a new view, that pamphleteering in masjids should stop. We have, like for example, Ramadan time, Hajj time, Umrah time, that you'll find Ramadan timetable, but in the back of it you have an advert. And this supermarket, that travel agent, now it comes into the masjid. The masjid is not a place for advertising. If you want to do this in the car park outside the masjid, you can distribute it. The masjid, leave it. And do not bring commercialism into the masjid by distributing leaflets, pamphlets, which have got on its posterior any advert. I go to this extent that alhamdulillah, you got in our country many charitable organizations, and now what they are writing in their leaflets and pamphlets, this is for masjid board. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala reward them tremendously for the good work they do, charitable organizations. But do not use the masjid board for your advert. Whether it is charity also, the masjid board, leave it. Leave it for pure deeni activity, not for any sort of commercial activity. Every masjid is entitled to put its own notices up about its locality. And also something else, that we should put on our masjid boards the announcements and the masala masail coming from the jamiats coming from the Darul Ulooms, coming from reliable organizations. Only preaching, propagating, informing, announcing, teaching the Haq. Advice is please leave the masjid free from commercialism. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah, Mufti, for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you barakah, inshaAllah, in your life, and a very request dua from Mufti as well, inshaAllah.